you'd think Bobby would have like his hair dyed black or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe like an like eyebrow piercing.
He's like a totally normal guy. Yeah. Who would know that he tortures pets? Yeah.
They always look normal. Yeah. I'm like the Ted Bundy of this podcast.
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Welcome to another DL Gaming Podcast. This is Ender's Logic. This Chad's right here, Flopsy.
Yo.
And we also have the guy that's not as good as me at Devil Daggers.
Oh, have you checked recently?
Have you checked recently, sir? Have you checked recently?
I've never seen a middle of this.
I was not coming into this room not beating that fucking... So I was so scared, dude. You beat my record by like 20 seconds.
Your old record was what?
84.
And then he had something over
100. No, originally you were like 74, and then I got like 83.1, and then the next day I woke up and you were at like 83.5.
Yeah, you beat me. No, I beat you by 0.3 seconds, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got a higher score.
And then
you
crushed me. Then it was...
like 120, right?
120. Yeah, 127, I think, was...
And now, sir, you've been crushed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
So, tell them the score.
So Devil Daggers, we covered it a couple of weeks ago, but very quickly, it's a fast-paced... Kill them before they kill you. It's the exact same. It's like the same boss fight over and over and over.
Yeah.
And then you try to last as long as you can. It's not really, you're not supposed to beat the game. Although someone probably will at some point because there's only one achievement and it's called, and there's no description of what it is. And it just says Devil Daggers. So who knows what it is, but it probably when you beat the game, I'm guessing. So, yeah. And I mean, it's fun. I was sweating.
So what's your score?
I believe it's 167,
right? It's 164?
Yeah, 160, 170, something like that. Yeah.
So that's time to beat. We'll see what I get next week.
Yeah.
Amino last night got me into play it for a little bit. He was expecting me to suck it. I got almost a minute, almost 60 seconds.
Like within the first 5 minutes, which is pretty good.
Well, you were coaching me, but still. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah. With no coaching, it's tough.
Well, what I didn't realize is you can click on the leaderboards and watch anybody's replay from there.
Oh.
So you click that little eye icon and you can watch the guy who set the record. You can watch your buddy who's right above you. On my friends list, I'm still like fifth on my friends list. There's someone on there that has like 400 seconds. So I don't think
Dude, 400? No way. 400 is second place in the world.
No, the first place is like six.
Yeah, and then it drops off dramatically after
that. No, there was like 625, then there was like 618, and then there were a couple of 500, yeah.
Oh, well, 612 was the last record. Anyway, guys, it's fun. It's cheap as fuck, $6.
I don't know if it's worth $6.
You are crazy, dude.
Yeah, $5. I'd say it's worth $5.
You were having fun. I was watching you have fun.
No, I was... How did I say it? It's enjoyable, but not fun. Like, it's very stressful.
Well, it's good in small doses.
Yeah.
I noticed, like, if I play too long, I just keep getting worse and worse, and you got to put it down and do something else.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. You know, we're already on games now. We haven't even done the intro, but we might as well just continue talking about Devil Daggers. It's really difficult for me because I played in between rounds of Heroes of the Storm, which is a MOBA, RTS, completely different control style. So it takes a minute for my brain to adjust switching from each game. Like, even going back to Heroes, I'm just like, I got my left hand on WASD, and it just totally throws me off for a little bit.
So,
let's talk intro stuff.
We have the listener spotlight at the end of this episode is Derpstick. He stepped up. Thanks for stepping up, Derpstick. That was a fun podcast, fun interview.
We're finding out that everybody's got a sexier voice than we do.
Oh, yeah. Him and Clown Lotion, they're just like, hey, welcome back to the Cool Lab. Yeah. I was like, fuck, who should have the podcast here?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Big shout out to Lab Monkey. He's our first Patreon patron.
Thank you very much.
If you don't know what that is, it's just like if you want to support something that you find entertaining, but that's free, you can set up a payment plan. So... Or you could just give us a one-time donation. It doesn't matter. It's just a cool little site where creators can get paid by people who care about it or whatever, or have the funds to do it.
Thank you very much, Lab.
Yeah, thank you.
Very cool.
He now, I won't ignore him when he messages me now, so.
That's what it takes.
And don't you have some Lab Monkey news?
Oh, yeah. Extra special shout out to him because I will be seeing him at QuakeCon. Bought the plane ticket, registered for the BYOC. Going to be sitting with him and his friends. Bring your own computer. Yeah.
Oh.
It's the LAN that they have.
Gotcha. No, that's cool.
They've got a really good system for managing that too. I was very impressed. He told me I'd be sitting next to this guy who's got this crazy rig with, the Vive and like all this.
So cool, you gotta stuff. Beat him, Bobby.
No, I'm showing up with my laptop, like my work laptop. I'm gonna be playing.
Why?
Like,
why don't you take your rig?
I'm not bringing that on a plane. I'm not going through that hassle. Yeah, dude, that, my computer, I weighed my computer. It weighs almost 50 pounds.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
When they did the MTV one with Frailty from a long time ago, I think they said in there he bought a plane ticket for his rig.
And put it in the seat.
And put it in the seat.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, for something that expensive. Yeah, for sure.
Frailty? You mean fatality?
Fatality. Sorry.
Frailty.
That's kind of like, you know what I meant. Counterintuitive. I'm really scared of this frailty guy.
Yeah. But I know that's the place to go to show off your computer, and I'm going to be showing up with nothing. So that'll be fun. But I don't know. I'm looking
for... It's not a Mac, though, is it, Bobby?
No, it is. Oh, so God. I'm going to be limited on as to what games I can play.
Do not tell anybody you're part of the DL Gaming Podcast. We don't want that stigma.
Yeah, you can still play a lot of games. I mean, I really want to go walking around the LAN and get some footage or some pictures. I'm going to be bringing my camera, getting some footage of what's going on there. Like, I'm excited to just see the scenes and the speakers and all that stuff as well. But I'm sure I'll get plenty of gaming in, too.
You think you could show some inflection of your excitement in your voice?
No, that was excited. That was excited, Bobby.
Yeah, okay. That was me at about seven.
Tail was wagging. His bangs were flopping around a little more than usual.
Exactly.
Another shout out to Jason M. Dillon for hooking up our listeners and myself with some free games. He just threw up another thing I want to say too. Thank you, Jason, for doing that.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you very much.
Cool. Jason. Good way to do that. But, if you have a bunch of cards just sitting, send them to Bobby. Cause like, I don't use mine. I don't sell them. They just accumulate. Let's get Bobby to the fucking number, 21 instead of 23. If you don't use them, just send it to him. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. Right, Bob?
Sending me cards, because most sets I've already completed. Most people at my level do their leveling during the holidays off those seasonal cards. So it may not help me, but if you do have a bunch of cards and you don't know what to do with them, let me know, because I'll tell you how you can market those and make a little bit of money. Even during the holidays, I made like almost 200. I mean, I spent a lot, but I made it like $200 in gems. So my Steam account has just been loaded ever since. But
nice. So what about holiday cards? Would you like those to be sent to you?
Oh, yeah. I always take holiday summer cards or the winter holiday cards.
And again, if you don't know what we're talking about, Bobby's ranked in the top 30 in the world for Steam.
Yeah, it's probably around there.
Yeah.
He's our resident super nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're moving what we meant down, or?
No, I mean, however you want to do it.
I think it's good right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we didn't do this last week, but... If you don't know, we have this segment called What We Meant. We have this piece of software. We run the podcast through it. Anything that hears us lying, it will spit out what we were actually meaning to say.
The website's truth.fu.
Yeah, something like that. Usually we tell the truth. We're pretty honest here. But we have a couple parts that we all lied in last week. So I ran it through this week. Compile it all. Let's start with mine. I didn't talk a whole lot. I'd just come back from Vegas. I didn't have a whole lot of games. So there wasn't a whole lot for me to work with. I swear this isn't because I'm, this is what the machine spit back. So Bobby, play what I said.
Okay.
Mechanist? Oh, I'm having problems with that word. Sorry guys, I just came back from Vegas and,
Yeah, so you can notice a little tired.
Yeah. Didn't want to be there.
Not really on my A game. So this is what I actually meant to say.
According to the...
Yeah.
OMG, where am I? Who are these guys? What am I doing? I think I'm still drunk. Is this Vegas? Why won't these idiots shut up about video games and let me sleep?
All right. So that was me last week. So next we have Emilio. And Emilio...
I always say what I mean.
Emil thinks he's honest all the time, but he's not always 100% honest. So he was talking last week about competitive TF2. So he was talking about that. So play what he said last week, Bobby.
And then also, I waited to the end of the game. Awards were given. All the medals were put out. I quit out at that point and still got leader status because I didn't wait till whatever the fuck.
Right. Yeah, I was pissed about that.
Yeah. So this is what he actually meant to say.
Have you ever heard of the expression, seeing red? Well, I was so drunk and frustrated that I actually saw past red into infrared. Her age quit so hard that trolls the world over perked up and took notice. I think my hair turned white as I went Super Saiyan and Falcon punched my monitor into the Pacific Ocean. But I had to make some excuse to explain to Bobby why we were suddenly on the leaper status. Ended up that I had waited until the game was over, and somehow I still got the leaper status.
Okay, so... Yeah. Emil, not 100% truthful.
Maybe I was wasn't straight shooting, but yeah, general same message.
The last one, though, I was really surprised with. The last one's Bobby.
Yeah.
And last time we did this, Bobby kind of got
Bobby talked last week?
No, the last time we did what we meant. Oh. Bobby kind of got the short stick last time we did this. And this time, again, surprise, surprise, Bobby kind of ended up with the short stick. So this is what Bobby said last
week.
Not
sure what we mean by the short stick, but okay, we'll find out.
What an exciting language to sportscast in. Like, it was so entertaining. I didn't know what they were saying, but I was so fucking hyped for these games.
Okay, that's Bobby talking about watching Heroes of the Storm competitions.
The South American, regionals in Spanish.
And here's what Bobby actually meant.
This better not be racist.
Just love the Mexican people. I love their adorable little accent, the way they roll their R's like a car engine. I picture the casters in giant sombreros eating an enchilada, or maybe a quesadilla. Those short, squat little dark people are so funny when they go a-li-i-i-i-i-i.
Bobby,
dude.
Very surprising.
Wow. I can say it because my girlfriend's Mexican.
That's true.
You know, it's funny though, on that note, I forgot to mention this last week, but the greatest thing that they said there, and besides the grito, was the way they say thrall, and it's thralla.
Like, nice.
Such emphasis on that. Sure. Yeah. And of course, I thought it was funny when there's a character in Heroes of the Storm called Diablo, and I was like, well, that's not as exciting because, I mean, that's just. You know, like, what if we just
Spanish
had
originally, right?
Diablo is Spanish for devil. Yeah.
Cool. So that was what we meant. Shall we get into games now?
We sure. shall.
Sounds good.
All right. So the big game this week, Emilio, you've been playing Far Cry Primal.
I have. And surprise, surprise, I have been loving this game. First of all, it's set in the setting that I really enjoy. This, you know, early human pre-dinosaur.
But not dinosaurs.
Post-dinosaur era.
Woolly mammoths?
Woolly mammoths.
Sabertooths?
I haven't seen a sabertooth yet, but there's cave lions, which are like really big, basically savanna lions, but they're... And so, you know what I really want to see? I don't know if they... Maybe it's not accurate, but giant ground sloths.
Because
you always hear about them, like they were part of the megafauna before like the die-off. I've never, like, to see one animated would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
And know that that was, like, a real creature. But I haven't seen one yet. Maybe there will be, but I think maybe the timing's wrong. But come on, Ubisoft. You can make some stretches for some cool-ass shit. That's like a giant ground sloth. It's like something out of a Star Wars movie or something.
Yeah, and they're bigger than humans, right?
They're huge. Sloth? Yeah. They're, like, 600 pounds or something.
Yeah.
Like, 8 feet tall. It's crazy. Like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway. So, it's... pretty standard Far Cry type stuff, but the weapons are so drastically different than there's no machine gun, there's no pistol, there's nothing. There's a bow, there's a spear, and there's a club.
What's the reload time like on the spear?
Actually, instant, but you only have two spears.
No.
So, but that's your heavy, that's like your grenade launcher.
So it's like 5 minutes. You throw it, you run back, you get it, and then you throw it again.
Yeah. You have to go pick up your stuff all the time. That's a constant. Resource gathering in this game doesn't bother me. Like, it seems, because it fits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You actually need these things to make these other things that you're actually using, and you can see the wood that you just picked up in the bow that you made, you know, and stuff like that. So, and every arrow that you make, but you recover a lot of arrows and stuff. But anyway, I digress. Just having a great, the world is lush and rich. Once I heard that they took a lot of their, geography from Far Cry 4, and, you know, the initial reviews on this game weren't all that great. I was kind of scared, but, you know, I knew that I was going to like this game, and it really has delivered. What can I say? Bow.
Is there speaking? Do they speak to each other?
So this guy.
How does that work?
There's this guy that there's subtitles, and there's this.
They grunt, and then you get subtitles?
No, they have a language, like a complete language. Okay. And the enemies that are invading, for some reason, speak the same language. Thank God. Right. But, it's kind of like Star Trek, everybody knows common or whatever. So I would say, since there's only three weapons, those three weapons are really, really important on how they move and feel. The club feels like it's very generic, and that's the and I never use it, only probably because of that, because it's not satisfying to club somebody. But the bow is very satisfying, and the spear is the most satisfying. Like,
so they don't have a knife?
There's no knife, because they didn't have knives.
You got a spear. You cut the end off of a spear.
Yeah, there's no knife. There's an addle-addle. They don't call it that.
A what?
Addle-addle. That's like kind of like a bone with a... I don't know what they call it in this, but it's kind of like a bone, and then you carve a hole in it, and then you can fling like little rocks, sharp rocks at things. It's like the very first pistol. It's kind of like... You know what I'm saying? So you make like a groove in it.
And then you flick it, and it comes out.
And it shoots, pretty much.
So they don't blow darts or anything like that?
No, nothing like that yet. I mean, this is really, like, pretty early, man. So, I really like how much they integrated the animals in Far Cry 4. But the thing is, you had an AK. So animals don't, it doesn't fucking matter. You could just hose down herds of animals if you want. It doesn't, nothing really posed a threat.
Yeah,
except for humans. Here, humans don't really pose a threat because headshot, you're done, right? And I'm a headshotting motherfucker. I'm like really good at it. But, so it doesn't even really matter that I'm on hard, I think, because I headshot everything. I run into this a lot. But I think that the creature, if I had one complaint, the density of everything, it's just like sometimes it's bear, wolf, bear, wolf, and I'm bleeding, I'm fucking everything. It's all fucked up. But I think maybe that's because I put it on hard. That's how dense everything is.
Maybe. Wait, can you even kill a bear? You've got a club, a spear.
Yeah, I can kill bears, but it takes some, I have to use the geometry of the world to like, I'll have to stand on a big rock where it can't get up on me or something like that. One-on-one, if it's on me, I'm done. I got to run. And then it runs a slightly faster than you. So yeah, I mean, it's really exciting. There's no point that you're bored in this game. For me, I'm constantly looking out for danger. I love taming animals in every game that I've ever played. I played a hunter in WoW. So taming's really big in this. You can tame an owl, so you have an aerial view of things before. That's how, those are your binoculars, basically.
That's cool.
And then you can get wolves, and I just upgraded to cats, so I can't wait to get like a
So like that's the big thing in this, is the taming aspect.
If you want. That's one of the talent trees. Or you can go down the... Like, you can buff yourself up and get stronger, or you can, there's like 9 trees you can go down, because it's not the way they do it is you get these powerful villagers. You're trying to build your village, right? And if, like, say the witch doctor, he has his own talent trees, even though you don't play as him. If you buff him up, your home base gets buffed. So you get those abilities.
Oh, okay. That's
so cool. I'm going all Beastmaster, of course. So I'm having a really good time with that. It's just fucking fun as shit. I actually even had a friend that doesn't play video games. He was watching me for a bit. He's like, dude, this is fucking awesome. I'm like, yeah, graphics are amazing. And the thing is the constant action. Like I said, I don't know how many fucking eagles I shot with AKs, and it was just so easy. I can't kill an eagle in this game. They're fucking really hard. Try to shoot a bird out of the air with an arrow. Good luck. So maybe the addle-addle will be good for that, but I don't know. Anyway, rave review for me. I think it's way better than a 75. I would get like, I've only put in maybe 4 or 5 hours, so maybe it falls off hard, but I'm really enjoying. I don't think I've played a game that made me feel like I was in nature as much as this. Like the sounds.
So the complaints the other people have been having, because it's got mixed reviews on Steam.
It does.
But it was having some performance issues when it first launched.
I think that's probably what it is. I haven't run into anything. One little tiny thing besides the denseness of the population of all the creatures is that, like, I was like really far in the map, just killing everything, right? Clearing those camps and stuff. And then I was like, I had like 12 skill points banked, and I was like, why can't I spend these? There must be quests that I have to do, and I couldn't find any quests. And then I saw, like, at home base, there was this tiny little exclamation mark, tiny. I was like, oh, I must have to go back to my original home base. I went there, and I probably went 15 minutes of cutscenes because I had them all banked up, you know? It was pretty cool. And then I got to... It's funny because I had all those points. I kind of like, oh, I was like, oh, I got so many points, and I spent way too many in the wrong way. Anyway, that was like a small complaint, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
So worth the money.
Yeah, and it's on sale right now for Steam, $43, but you can get it anytime at G2A. Click through our link on dlgaming.net and save 3%, hopefully, if you can get it to work. I can't even get it to work sometimes, man. It's really weird. But some people have figured it out. So anyway, yeah, you can get it for $33, I think I paid, maybe $34.
Yeah, for the Uplay key, not the Steam key.
For the Uplay key, which I didn't really care.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's playing better?
Maybe.
Could be off. Yeah,
who knows? I doubt it. Cool. Well, I had a little adventure this week as far as my rig is concerned. So I've talked about in previous weeks how I was getting this weird black screen. It was black screen on Grim Dawn. And then I tried to play The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing a couple weeks ago, and it black screened on me again. And then this week it like brown screened on me when I was just on the internet. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? So Crad Notrop, Crad.
Just call him Crad, he said.
Crad. Sent me some Steam messages to help me out, and basically said, hey, you know, this is what you need to do. You need to downgrade the current version of NVIDIA's graphics drivers are shit, and you shouldn't be using the most recent one. I was on the 365 point something. So I did some research. I looked on Reddit.
But I'm on all the, you know what I mean? Like, I'm on the same ones, and I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
It's just... Just one of those things, huh?
I guess.
I've been incredibly lucky. Like, I hardly ever have any problems. But it's just luck, I think.
Yeah. Well, some of the things that Crad told me is you should be using DDU, which is called, which is a display driver uninstaller. So, you know, I usually use the NVIDIA graphics installer, just check for updates
and install. Experience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What people are saying is sometimes it leaves artifacts when it installs new ones. So what they recommend is that you use the DDU to uninstall it and then install the version that you want to install.
A fresh install of a driver.
And what I've been reading is the most stable one that they have right now is the 3.6.2 version.
Right.
So I installed 3.6.2 this week and haven't had a black screen yet.
Did you play Van Helsing?
Yep, played Van Helsing. And so that's... where we go to. I played Van Helsing, The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing Final Cut.
Thanks to Crad.
Yeah, thanks, Crad. So this is another action RPG top-down or isometric kind of view, similar to Grim Dawn, similar to some of the other ones that we've been playing. I liked it, but I didn't love it. So I liked the environment it is. It's in... you know, 1800s.
Right.
Monrovia. No, it's like in some kind of forested area.
Oh, okay.
But then you get into a city, and it's got kind of the steampunk kind of feel to it, and monsters are prevalent. You've got a minion with you at all times. So you play as the son of Van Helsing, and there's 8 different classes you can play as. But then you've got a minion... and the minion is a ghost who is helping you out. But you can set up the minion to be either melee, kind of like a more tanky, or ranged to help you with DPS, or not even attack, but will give you defensive buffs.
Right.
So you can play around with it. And your minion levels up also, and you have to do skill trees with it and put stat points in it. But she also puts gear on. So you're getting gear for yourself and for her.
Yeah. Was it too much micromanaging? That sounds like fun, though. Leveling up two creatures.
It was fun. And at the start of the game, she is really powerful. Yeah. She was just killing everything, and I was just along for the ride. But then it kind of balanced out as I started gaining levels.
Again, good.
Yeah.
Good way to do that.
My complaint is I only had one attack.
Like left click?
Yeah, my left click and right click were just one attack. And they had a skill tree, and they had like five different other options. But none of the other options appealed to me at all. But what I found out later is you can modify your attack. So you get this rage meter that builds up when you kill things. So you can modify... My attack was a grenade launcher. I was the guy with in a mech suit. And he kind of had like this little grenade launcher sort of thing.
Yeah, okay. 1700s mech suit.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Well, it's steampunky. Right, so, you know, it's got like a steampunk engine and stuff like that.
Bobby, you awake?
Yep.
Okay.
So you can modify it. So you could push a button and then the next time you attack... You could either have it do burn for damage on everything it hit, or you could have it leave a flame spot where it blows up. So you could modify it, but it was kind of cool because you could only modify it and it would take rage meter up, but your rage would fill up based on killing enemies. So it was kind of a dichotomy between using it, but not using it too much because then you wouldn't have any rage and then you'd have to play it. Mm. So it wasn't a mana bar because there is a mana bar. It was kind of a weird bar, but it was interesting. It was fun.
Now, there's several Van Helsings, right?
Is yeah.
This just the third or the fourth?
I don't know.
Have you played any of the other ones?
No.
These are always games. These games have always looked very interesting to me, and I've always wanted to check them out, but well, I've never played a single one.
It's got good reviews, so I was kind of excited for it. It was fun. It just didn't hold my interest. I don't know.
Dungeon crawler? Kind of?
Yeah, it's a dungeon crawler.
Okay. I don't know why you didn't say that initially.
I said it was an action RPG.
Okay. Not a dungeon crawler, though.
What's the difference? Is there an action RPG that's not... Never mind.
Zelda.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Up yours, Chad. All right.
Well,
the biggest problem with that game is that Grim Dawn exists, right?
Yeah, every time I was playing it, I was like, I could be playing Grim Dawn
right now. So... Let's go to Grim Dawn. I know this is kind of our new Darkest Dungeon, but it impressed me yet again. So Chad and I are playing it and we're talking to each other and we're like, is it even better than its official release? And he's like, yeah, it looks way better and there's way more particle effects. Maybe too much.
Yeah.
Because I think
my shield was like glowing now and stuff like that.
And I can't see you. Like I said, it's kind of like a cartoon fight when it's just a cloud with feet and fists floating around like cat sounds. You know, that's all I see. And I'm throwing my thing in there, but I don't know what's going on. Like, can you see yourself?
Yeah, a little bit, but not. It's definitely harder
than it was, right? Yeah. But it looks great. I mean, these particle effects look great. The graphics are, I swear, they're sharper than they were. And this is. After their official release date, which we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, already it would look better than
so when we saw it. It's been updated since, I don't know what happened. So maybe it was a graphics driver update. I don't know what it is. But anyway, it couldn't have been that. But anyway, so Clown Lotion said that he had been playing, probably off of our recommendation, and he was like several levels below us. I think we were 27, he was 14, if I remember right. And so a whole slew of things can happen when you enter this. Either one, somebody's along just for the ride and they can't really attack anything because they're going to die.
Yep.
Or two...
Suddenly we're too strong.
We're too strong and they die instantly over and over and over.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy to fuck this up. He came in and joined and I believe he was participating and having a good time. Actually, I don't know how much damage he was doing, but I lied to him and said that I had a stat.
Don't tell him this.
That I was running a stat tracker and that because I'm heavy into pets and I have a really
surprise, heavy into pets.
Exactly. I have a really big, hellhound. And then after that, I have this like
crab thing?
Like this kind of lobster? Giant cockroach type looking thing. And then after that, I have a crow, and the crow like spits a lightning bolt every 3 minutes.
It's basically a heal bot.
Yeah. And I'm looking at it. And I'm like, well, I'm looking at my stat tracker here, clown. And, you are almost as good as my crow. So, and he's like, come on, fuck. I had a mod installed.
Yeah. You pulled off. That was surprisingly believable.
Yeah. So the cat's out of the bag now.
Sorry, clown.
Yeah, sorry, clown. So, Grim Dawn, even better than it was 2 weeks ago.
Go play it.
Who's be glitched?
Oh, okay. So last week, we went through the game developers stuff, and Beglitch came up, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I really want to play it. Do this little experiment for me, Bobby. Find Beglitched so I can download it right now while I talk about it.
Okay. So what did you try? Not on Steam, obviously.
Well, first thing I do is go to Steam.
Right.
Look up Beglitched.
Not there.
It's okay. Not on my
It's option. On Steam Greenlight.
Yes, it is on Steam Greenlight, but...
Oh.
But it's not there. How are they judging this as one of the best movies, games of this year?
Developers, dude. It's kind of like the Oscars, you know?
But do the developers get to play?
Yeah. Developers probably have, like, a developer thing. Can you tell I'm making shit up as I talk?
Then I went to the website, and I was like, oh, maybe you can download a version of it off the website. Nope. Can't find anywhere on their website to download Beglitch to play. So yeah,
maybe he just sent it to a bunch of devs so that they could take a look at it.
Maybe, but I wanted to play and I couldn't figure out a way to play this.
Beglitch, the best sounding game you can't play.
Side note, Cybul, I downloaded Cybul off Team Tom's account.
Okay.
So I'll play Cybul, which got the game of the year for them.
Okay, cool.
So I'll play that and get
What
that.
Type of game is it?
It looks like it's got partial real film parsh. So you play as this girl who meets a guy online and they start to like have feelings for each other. But I think she's also, you kind of play her or you see her in the real world also through real film.
If there's an explosion here really soon.
Well, she does get mostly naked at different
points. So is a FMV game, full motion video?
It looks like it's got parts of it, FMV. Hmm. You can go to Cybul right now if you want to look.
Is that going to be a thing now because her story did so well that FMV is going to be big?
How do you spell Cybul?
You're spelling it right, C-I-B-E-L-E.
If you think about it, FMV is so much cheaper than fucking doing CG, right?
But this actually has a game. Like, you play a game. You play an as her playing the game. But then it also looks like, you can see there, she's actually there too. And I think she's talking to somebody, to the guy.
Interesting.
So it'll be interesting. We'll see what it is. I'll talk about it next week, assuming I get a chance to play.
Choice of Robots. Did you try that yet?
Yeah, I loved it. It was awesome.
Okay, cool. Moving on. Franbo, what is that?
I have no idea. Bobby, talk for a mile.
Please.
Franbo. This is a game that has been in development for a while and was recently released on Steam. Well, recently, maybe a few months ago. I wanted to include this game in my list of games that I played about 2 years ago when I played all those horror games and was coming up with the top 5 horror games of 2014. Man, it was that long ago.
Yeah. Was it 14?
Yeah, I think it was 2014.
Cool.
Yeah.
Check it out. He did, well, if you care, about 2014 news. It's on our DL Gaming YouTube channel.
Yeah. I really wanted to include this game, but it was really in an early alpha stage back then, and you could play like the first 5 minutes of it or something like that, but not the entire game. It really struck me as something interesting. I don't know, just the whole horror theme. It's a point and click adventure game. So you have your basic options in there. It's basic puzzle solving, like most point-and-click adventure games, and there's a little bit of choice when it comes to dialogue, but I don't think that has much of an effect on it. Overall, I mean, it's not anything special as far as a game, but just the theme of it is very interesting to me. It's this girl who her parents are murdered. She wakes up in an insane asylum, And it has that mechanic where you can do something to switch between worlds. You know, like in Guacamelee, you can go between the afterlife and the real world. And it's the same level, but things are different. Enemies change. There's different obstacles. Another game that had this was Contrast. You can turn into a shadow and then use other shadows to get around. Interesting way to do a platformer.
Super Mario 3, if you hold down...
Paper what? Mario?
No.
Where you go from paper to 3D?
I never played that game. Actually.
Neither did I.
Yeah, I never played Paper Mario. I know what you're talking about with Super Mario 3.
If you held down on a...
Then you can go behind things. Yeah.
Because Miyamoto just said that Super Mario 3 was indeed a play put on by the Mario characters. That's the story. It was all a stage. You know, that's why there's that curtain.
Yeah, Mario 3 starts with that curtain opening.
Cool, huh?
Yeah. So the game has that mechanic where she takes pills and then she enters this really weird, twisted... reality where it's filled with monsters and blood, and it's pretty graphic, even though it is just animated. It's got that kind of animation, like what's that other point and click adventure game, Broken Age, you know, where it's kind of like that soft pastel, almost like a
like Firewatch.
Yeah, kind of like Firewatch, but not really. It's not 2D. Firewatch isn't 2D. But I was surprised at how far they went with some of the things. There was a part where I had to get through an area and there was a security guard there. And the security guard was like, I'll let you through if you give me a kiss, little girl. I'm like, wow, that's fucking bold.
Wait, how old is she?
Oh, she's like 8 or 9 or something. Yeah, like she's a little kid.
Yeah.
And so like they worked in some pedophilia in there. I was like, shit, that's that's crazy.
So where can I download this?
So I don't know. I'm going to continue. I've really just started this game. It does not have Steam Cloud. Sorry. So
loudest beer of all time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably can't even finish his fucking sentence.
It's funny how loud that shows up on the mic. Yeah. Like you tune it out in your ear, but then the mic picks it up loud and clear. But I started playing this game on a different computer and then picked it up on my home computer. So I had to redo some parts, which is why I know like some of the decisions that you make don't like in the dialogue options don't really have an effect. So, and I'm always disappointed when games do that. But on the same hand, like, what do you really expect out of a game? Like when they give you dialogue options, like, are they really going to make like a completely different game based on you saying one thing or the other at this certain part? I don't know. It's hard to expect much there. But yeah, I'm going to continue playing this. I've really just started it only maybe an hour or two into it.
Bob, what do you think it is that attracts you to gore and horror? Or is it, do you think?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Right? It's like a roller coaster. Yeah. And you know what's funny is I was having this conversation the other day about movies. I watch a lot of horror movies and I reached a point maybe 2 or 3 years ago where I couldn't get scared of horror movies anymore. The only thing that ever I thought was kind of creepy, like to any extent, is like stuff that could be real, like maybe Paranormal Activity, the first one, cause just like, okay, that maybe could happen.
Came out of San Diego, by the way, Paranormal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right here in San Diego. Work
where Chad worked.
Yeah.
And he got fired because he was late all the time because he was filming, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, that worked out for him in the long run.
Nah. He should have stayed with those people.
But I reached a point with movies where I just couldn't get scared anymore. So I started going down this path of just really disturbing movies. So I've got some movies, if anyone ever wants a list of, you know, that will just, you know, kind of fuck you up. You
probably want one.
Let's see. I'll go with the classic. Salo. S-A-L-O.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's I'll based put off that the on book. My list of never
yeah.
to watch.
Yeah. You're a weird kid, dude.
Yeah.
Look it up on Wikipedia and just read the description and imagine watching that.
You'd think Bobby would have like his hair dyed black or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe like an like eyebrow piercing.
He's like a totally normal guy. Who would know that he tortures pets?
Yeah.
They always look normal. Yeah. I'm like the Ted Bundy of this podcast.
Yeah. Question, Bobby.
Yeah.
There was a new version of Dread Out came last week.
I noticed that, and it's on my wish list.
Okay, well, so you are interested.
Yeah, I am interested in that. One. Yeah, I really liked a few things about that, even though I felt the game was really lacking in some areas. It wasn't graphically that great of a game. But I also noted the original Dread Out game has a second act. If you remember years ago when I first played that game.
This is the one that made you scream like a bitch, right?
No, that was...
This is the one where you're playing as a girl with a camera phone, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she's got the camera phone. It's I think it's like a Filipino game. Like, it's made from the Philippines.
Good for them.
Cool. But yeah, it's a girl who's like investigating this old abandoned town.
Like you do.
Yeah. And they made a second act to it, and the first one kind of ended on a cliffhanger. So I may go back and play that. I've heard good things about the new one, though. So there's a second act to the first one, and then there's an entirely new game that takes place in the same universe, but different characters. So I don't know.
And that's this one, is the new characters?
Yeah.
Is it called Dread Out 2?
No, it's Dread Out with some colon.
Yeah, okay. Colon something or other. Yeah. But I feel like horror games always default to adventure games and point-and-click stuff. Like, it's hard to have a first-person shooter horror game because in a first-person shooter, you're just mowing people down. It's hard to be scared when you have a gun.
Yeah. So that's why Amnesia was so scary.
We'll look at Fear series. Doom, same thing.
See, I see the opposite of this, though. If it's first-person, I get the immersion part of it. So that's why I'm scared. That's why Amnesia was the scariest. Doom 3 was.
Amnesia didn't have a gun.
Yeah,
that wasn't a shooter.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the best mix. First-person, no gun. Probably the scariest thing. Or the Doom 3 scared the fucking shit out of me. So
when you couldn't use your gun and flashlight at the same time.
Like, fuck those people who mod that. Fucking bitches. The bitch mod. That's what I call that.
Man, I can't wait for the new Doom to come out. That game looks awesome.
Oh, yeah, you haven't mentioned it for 3 weeks in a row.
Still hyped about that.
If you're keeping track at home, this is the point where you drink for...
If somehow you held to a strand of whatever point you had, Bobby. Please continue.
That was it. No, he finished Rambo.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then we kind of got on to that other game, Dread Out.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up the actual title because if anyone is interested in that, it kept on showing up on the front page of my Steam list, but I don't know if that's just because I had the original one.
It showed up on the front page of my Steam list, and I'm like, what? Steam, seriously, you don't know anything about me if you think I'm going to be getting Dread Out.
Gabe Newell sent it the... He's like, oh, Bobby's a creepy puppy. I'm going to show him this. This one right here.
It seems like, okay, Dread Out. Oh, that's not it. They're having a sale on Resident Evil games, and I've come so close to buying so many of them, but I'm like, am I really going to play this? Like the original one, the remake that they made of it?
Oh, right.
I really want to check. Keepers of the Dark is the name of that. Dread Out, Keepers of the Dark is the new one. $6.29 on Steam right now. Not a bad deal.
So cheap.
Yeah.
$5.09, isn't it?
I think it's $6.99 full price. So
no, this is the original Dread Out.
Yeah, the original one is $5 right now, but originally $14.99. So I think Keepers of the Dark is a shorter game.
Okay, cool.
So I've been having a couple problems with my wireless headset. It cuts in and out, and it's getting worse and worse. A buddy of mine at work gave me...
Wait, why aren't you using the one that we got? The one that I gave you? The one from that company.
The same thing's going on with that one.
Oh, okay.
It does the same thing, too.
You think it's your sound card?
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Continue. So, a buddy of mine at work gave me his old TTE Sports called Shock. So, it's a wired headset, and I think it's only like $40 to buy new or something like that. But... sounds good, but it's two channel, it's only stereo, so you don't have those 5.1s or anything. It's getting the job done. Right. I was also having problems with the mic, but maybe the mic's broken or something.
So TT, this is Thermaltake is the brand, right?
Yeah. Chad's not a cheap guy. He probably spent close to $150 last night just on drinks, and he will not do anything to upgrade his rig.
What do you mean?
That he spent all his time on.
It's upgraded. What else do I need to upgrade?
Your desk, your chair, your
headset. That's not my rig.
Well, your area, your gaming area. Okay. It's so weird. It's like the weirdest thing.
It gets the job done.
Sure. Okay.
So but I'm surprised to see a boosted bass edition because every headset I've had to turn the bass way down.
It just seems weird because this is designed for, TTE Sports is supposed to be gaming, but it's like the antithesis of gaming.
Well, this is probably an old model, right?
Probably. I don't know. It's only like $40. It's only stereo. Like gamers want 5.1s, and they boost the bass. And that's like, Chad, who am I, Dr. Dre? Like, I don't need boosted bass on this. Like,
Chad gave me my headset for Christmas, I think, or birthday. He should have kept it for himself. It is amazing. I'm still in love.
You still love that thing.
It's so great. And that's the Sony Gold
Pulse, I think, or something.
I'm pretty sure it's just gold.
Is it? It could be.
Yeah.
One of those.
The number one selling headset, and there's a reason for it.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's my headset. I would say don't worry about buying it. But
did you have anything else on Devil Daggers, Bobby?
No, I think we already talked that one.
Okay.
You want to talk Firewatch?
Yeah, sure. So this also could have been the big game to talk about. I mean, this is a little bit older, but so Firewatch is a first person, very. First of all, it's a beautiful game. Beautiful. You're walking through a painting.
I heard it's like really sad to start with.
It's pretty sad, and this is very narrative driven. The story is what's going on here. 80% of the game, I'm talking about importance, is the story, right? And what I loved about the story is it didn't fuck about with like tons and tons and tons of reading. Like the top-down isometric strategy game with dragon in the name. I always forget the name of it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Has dragon in it.
Dragon Age?
No.
Dragon... Shadowrun Dragonfall?
Yes. Shadowrun. Okay. Shadowrun Dragon... Oh, what is it?
Dragonfall.
Dragonfall. Sorry, everybody. So,
wow.
The only reason I stopped playing that game was that reading was so intense. Good writing.
Yeah.
Yes. But this is concise writing.
Is it actual writing on the screen?
Only at the beginning to let you know where you are, who you are, all of that. Basically, the introduction to your character was done in probably about 15 to 20 paragraphs, and I was hooked. Like, it was so well written. And these are short little paragraphs, maybe two sentences long, three sentences maybe at max. This writing was so good that it was charming, it was clever, it was sad, and I felt like I just started a book that I knew was going to sweep me away. And it's fitting because the rest of the game is exactly that. You're playing through a novel, pretty much. It's largely an audio conversation.
It's a walking simulator, right?
Yeah, you call it that, but the story is going on as you speak to this person and through your radio.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter. It's key points when you walk to them.
It starts the next part.
But you don't notice it. And it's so well intertwined that it seems natural. And, man, it was like reading a really good book, a short, good book. I've been in about 4 hours. I'm not going to say anything about the story, but, it kept me guessing. I wasn't sure what was going on. Sam and I both, she watched me play the whole thing. We both had different opinions about what was going to happen. We were both wrong. So, not to say that maybe you won't pick it out, but
no,
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was really, really good. Very enjoyable.
Let me look that up. Firewatch. It was on sale for $17.99 when it first came out. Is it at $20?
I would say $20 is perfect for this game, just because.
Really, 4 hours of play, and it's not really a game.
It's really good, dude. It's really enjoyable.
Yeah, $19.99.
It is a game, kind of. I mean...
All right, is there a single enemy in this game?
No.
I think the story is the selling point on this game.
No, but what I'm saying is, what is the game element?
The only game element is... what do you call it? Finding out what direction you're going. What do you call that? There's a name for it. But, like, knowing which direction you're going and, you know, matching up... areas and making sure, okay, I'm right here. And then navigation, I guess, is the game part of it.
Okay, so not a single enemy, not a single puzzle.
Now, is it difficult, puzzles, though? Like the navigation? Are the puzzles and the navigation difficult in this game?
No.
Because sometimes that can really detract from a story. A lot of people will complain that, oh, the puzzles are too easy, or whatever mechanic that the game puts in there is too easy. But at the same time, if you make them too difficult, it totally ruins the story.
The story, right. So it's easy... And it was meant to be. It wasn't meant to be challenging. They wanted a smooth narrative all the way through. Now, I beat the game. I probably only explored 40% of the map. Maybe 50, 60%. Top 60. there's so much more. You can go and do that, but I was just so, I wanted to see how it ended.
Yeah, but does exploring actually do any, would it tell more of the story?
I don't think so. Maybe there's audio.
I'm just really skeptical on these. Is it a game? Is it not a game?
Who cares? I had a really good experience for 4 hours. After the first 10, 15 minutes, I looked at Sam. I was like, this is some of the best writing I can remember seeing.
It's a great game for Steam family sharing. Yeah. Is it on your account?
It's on Team Tom's account.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Team Tom, my best friend in the world.
I do want to play this game. I've heard lots of good things.
You know me, I'm like all about story and all, but like I want a game to have a game. Like, I don't know.
Sacrifice one for the other.
Am I a weirdo for thinking that?
Do you, though? I mean, I guess it would be Mass Effect, right? The most game with the most story.
Yeah. But even that was, the story was broken up by the gameplay at parts.
And the side missions.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different things that could go off track. And that was more world building. I mean, this has got, just a set structured narrative.
Yeah.
Fallout 4 has a strong narrative.
Or Tomb Raider. You know, something like that where the story is really strong, but there's also a really good game involved.
I still need to beat that game.
Yeah. So,
I highly recommend
Firewatch.
Yeah, I'd pay $20 for it for sure.
Okay.
What do you pay out of movies? I know we run through this.
Like 15 bucks.
$15 these days.
So it was better than a lot of movies that I've watched.
Okay, fair enough. So I was doing some stuff on Kotaku, and they had this, yet another best of list, but they did their best of strategy games. This is on Steamed. So first of all, I want to go through the list. Figstat called us out a couple weeks ago and said, we don't do enough RTSs. And RTS is kind of the classic.
Not just RTS. Well, Civ isn't an RTS. Not real time.
Well, it's turn-based.
Yeah. No, strategy
just
games.
Just strategy games. Yeah. We don't have a resident strategy guy anymore. Because Bobby fucking went off into the Heroes of the...
The MOBA nether, never to be returned.
Well, the thing about strategy games is you have to spend a lot of time in a game like that.
Yeah. But the point Figstat made, and
Heroes of the Dormant.
Yeah, and I agree with him, is I think strategy is the quintessential PC game.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot replicate this on a console.
And you can't play it on a controller.
You can't. So if you want to play strategy, you have to get a PC and you have to play it there. And so I thought this was a good opportunity.
FixX zipper just went he's choked.
I thought this was a good opportunity to go through their best of list, kind of get our opinions, ask if we played them or not. And then I got a little surprise after that. But let's go through the list first. So, okay, Bobby,
the best
bring that
up. Strategy games.
Yeah, this is
Kotaku's list.
Kotaku's list. This came out this week. So the first one up is Civ 5.
Is that in rank?
I don't think it doesn't necessarily have a list of 1 through 10, but I think, most people rank Civ 5 as kind of the best.
Okay. Are you going to say Crusader Kings too?
I don't know. Should I?
Well, it's too hard for me, so hopefully you can explain it to me.
So the next one up is Crusader. You played Civ 5 though, right? Bobby?
I think everybody's playing it. Yeah, it's a great game.
Crusader Kings.
Talk about Civ right now.
Okay.
It's a top list and you played it.
So I looked at this list and I was like, Civ 5 at the top, and I've never played it. And it's on Bobby's games on that he's family sharing
and
with
mine,
me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, so I got all the DLC for that too.
I was like, there's no excuse for me not to be playing this game. So I booted up Civ 5 for the first time ever. First Civ game, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was kind of playing it with an eye towards Endless Legend to see like what I liked mm-hmm. better between the two, because mm-hmm. we loved Endless Legend mm-hmm. when we played that a while ago.
That's your bar.
Yeah, that's my bar.
Yeah.
There are certain things that I like better in Endless Legend, and there's certain things I like better in this game. I kind of really liked the policy stuff. Do you remember the policy stuff, guys? Where you could pick what your policy was, whether you were like
foreign policy and something.
No, it was kind of like what your method of government would be.
Okay.
So I forget what the different options are. So you could basically be
your country's attitude.
Yes, basically? Sort of. Okay. But you get different perks for doing that.
Okay.
So I thought that was a cool idea. The other thing that I really like this compared to Endless Legend, and I brought this up with you, Emilio, is that in Endless Legend, I felt like I was always making troops. Once you started down the path of war, forever was a tainting
year. Right.
Like, you constantly had to make troops because you had, like, your six guys that was in your army, and you needed a bunch of these armies, and every time your guys died, you'd have to combine your armies together, and you were always making troops to fill up your armies. But
that game is far more strategy-based.
Sorry, this is me. My bad.
Far more Endless Legend is much more combat-based. Like, the only way to win in Endless Legend is domination, right?
No, there's other ways to win.
Oh, is there?
You can win through the science tree or the...
Oh, I wasn't aware.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's more options here, let's say.
In Civ, you have an army, and they're really expensive to make, but you can also heal them after combat. So it was more like, you weren't just making guys. You were like, okay, here's the four guys I want on the board, and I'm going to use them.
Take care of them.
And I'm going to take care of them. So I could continue to build my my civilization, which I really appreciated. I thought that was a much better way to do it than the other way.
And overall, would you agree with most everybody that's the best strategy game? It's hard to overcome.
They're both really good. Yeah. Like,
you know, and they're not the same game, you know? It's
true. Because Civ, you know, you start with pikemen, and then you
end with space exploration.
Yeah, right. You know, which I haven't gotten that far. I'm around turn 200, so I think you start in 200 AD, and I'm up to 1200 AD.
Yeah.
So I just got musket men, but I'm way ahead of my other guys. So I'm playing difficulty level 2. So I just said start a game. So whatever the base, it was 6 different countries on continents, small map, and difficulty level of 2. But I think the difficulty level goes all the way up to 9. So I'm basically at functioning retard difficulty.
Right.
So I'm just like cruising through.
Just a side note, by the way, if you enjoy Civ 5 and you enjoy the civilization development portion of it and like how that all happened, I highly suggest to read or listen to Guns, Germs, and Steel. It really breaks down how all this shit happened and why really quickly. And a villager asked him one day, the chief of the, I forget, so one of the, New Guinea, he asked him, why do white people have so much more cargo than we do? Cargo being everything that comes in on ships.
Yep.
Flashlights, all that stuff. He spent the next 25 years answering this, and he wrote it down. And it's called Guns, Germs, and Steel, and it's amazing. Turns out, the darkies aren't done. Yeah.
that's you too.
What?
You're part of the darkies?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I can say that.
Okay. I just don't want our first listeners thinking we're racist right off the bat. Although Bobby already ruined that whole thing on what we meant.
Oh, I know. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Jeez. Bobby.
They roll their cars like a car engine. Their R's like a car engine. Okay, so... Love Civ 5. Gonna keep playing it the rest of this week. See how that goes.
I say rabbit hole for Chad.
What? Civ 5.
I think you're gonna fall down
Civ 5's a rabbit hole for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to the list. Crusader Kings 2, that's the one you tried to play and failed.
Twice. And watched a 45-minute video on how to play and still.
Maybe I'll download that off your...
And it's crazy because it's generally about banging. Like, it's all about ladies.
Oh, and that was kind of the downside on Civ is...
There's none of that.
I start as Roman Augustus or Augustus Caesar in mine.
Yeah.
It's now 1,000 years later and I'm still him.
I guess you're his legend. Yeah. Or his
legacy. Heir.
Legacy.
Next one up, Endless Legend. All three of us. Bobby, did you play Endless Legend?
I haven't played it yet.
Oh, you got to play
he's
it.
He's a jerk.
Yeah, he really is.
Nobody even likes that guy.
Yeah. A Company of Heroes. Does anybody play Company of Heroes?
No. Actually, there is a sale right now on Bundle Stars. Company of Heroes, all the DLC, and Company of Heroes 2 with all the DLC. BundleStars.com. Yeah, and it must have been something happening recently, because it's not only on that site, but I think even Humble Bundle has a special on it. But these games are real cheap right now.
I've played this. I've played one extensively, and I've played two.
Is it turn-based? Or is it RTS?
No, it's RTS. And it's tactical and pretty. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, you're looking down on these people and stuff, but I think as realistic as maybe, you know, it feels like this might be, that guy can throw that grenade about that far, stuff like that.
You know? I gotcha.
They really took, and I really like the voice controls, not the controls, but the voice, just, you know, it's not, okay, boss. Like, okay, sir, but, and they might even throw a counter thing at you, like, okay, what if we do this or whatever, and I really like the voice acting on this.
Okay.
Company of Heroes is probably my favorite RTS war with like World War II, for sure. Right? But yeah, but any like modern war, I would say. Yeah.
All right. What else we got, Bobby? We got Total War Shogun 2. I'm assuming nobody has played this.
Never got into any Total Wars. I do plan on playing Warhammer Total War though.
Oh yeah, that one's coming out, huh?
Yeah.
I tried to play the popular one, Rome.
Oh, yeah. I tried downloading that.
Learning curve, right, Bob?
Yeah. Well, it's different than a lot of these other ones. It's about military battles, but it's all about your formation, and it's a very slow, methodical. I feel like it's more realistic in that sense compared to other games.
It's like individual battles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're set up, here's the battle, here's the situation, here's the high ground, and all, and you're supposed to be...
Yeah, it's like pretend you're Napoleon, with the map and the little characters that you're moving around. Like, you're planning out all that stuff. And the actual battle, you can zoom in really far, but, you know, it's not, like, action-oriented by any means.
Yeah. All right, cool. Homeworld, I got Homeworld Remastered and was playing it.
Couldn't get into it.
I was enjoying it, but it didn't hook me for some reason.
Maybe lack of story?
Homeworld to me felt a lot like Warcraft 2 or 3 or whatever, but your base could move. So your base was moving, so it was kind of an interesting twist, like, you know, because you have this Homeworld base and it was able to move, so.
Really quickly, hardcore history again, blah, blah, blah. He was saying when, like, the Persians met the Greeks, nobody wrote down the intricacies of how battles happen, right? You can watch it on Total Rome, where these guys, you know, one group of people run in, like Braveheart. Mm-hmm. Braveheart was like an interpretation of probably maybe that's how it goes down, but nobody ever wrote it down how it goes down. When two large groups ram into each other, is that what happens? Or do they stop when there's like 3 yards left and kind of like poke at each other for a little bit? Or nobody wrote it down. So we have no idea how these ancient battles actually happened before, but we only know modern ever since. Yeah, so it's kind of crazy, but you can watch maybe how it happened here. But every time here, they just run into each other.
Yeah. Well, every time you see it in a movie, they always shoot it the exact same way. Like, they track out while the two like kind of clash into each other and they go to the shaky cam.
Right. And what's funny is,
if you're 300, the super steady cam,
this guy was talking about like the Revolutionary War and stuff and how bayonets were never used really. Everybody would fire their first volley or second or third or whatever. And there's that point where you rush each other. And this general, he wrote it down that every time they would stop and not impale each other. Because one, you don't want to get impaled. And two, you don't want to impale somebody. That's fucking terrible. So what they would do is load up and shoot each other from 2 yards away. 2 yards. Ridiculous.
We had to be that close to hit somebody with those guns.
Yeah.
All right, get back to the list. What else we got?
Sorry, guys.
Panzer Corps. I'm assuming nobody's played this one.
I played the game it was based off of a long time ago, Panzer General.
Looks like dog shit.
Well, this is like early 90s. Yeah. This is a Panzer General is a classic strategy game from back in the day. And it was, I mean, there was nothing else out there at that time. So, yeah, of course it was great.
Cool.
Okay, cool. What else we got? World in Conflict.
I had a buddy who played a lot of this, like a lot.
I don't even know what the screenshot is showing us.
Yeah.
But
no, none of us have played. And then they list XCOM 2.
Of course.
Is that considered a strategy game?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
It's sweet. I love that game.
But it's kind of
The number one game. My number one game that I don't play.
And then Age of Empires 2, Age of Kings. Yeah. We played Age of Wonders.
Yeah. This is probably my favorite strategy. I've played so much of this.
You played one?
Online, though, right?
Oh, I played all the Age of Empires. I played the first one that was just like the Romans. And then Age of Empires 2 came out. Age of Kings. And this is the one I got really, really into. Played quite a bit of this.
How old was this from?
2000, 2001. They recently did the remake version on Steam, and I started playing it again when that came out. I even got into some multiplayer, although that was real buggy at first. But the original
HD version, right?
Yeah, HD remake.
The 2013 HD remake, yeah. Apparently. And was that the last one on the list, by the way?
I don't think so. No, it was. They got some honorable mentions.
But they didn't mention StarCraft. They didn't mention WarCraft.
Well, those are real-time strategies. It looks like they aren't including those games because no Command & Conquer on there.
These are
real-time strategy games.
But, I mean, those are strategy games, right? Why wouldn't they?
There's a difference between turn-based and real-time, dude.
But these aren't all turn-based. Total War isn't turn-based.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, you can pause.
Yeah, you can pause.
Give new orders.
Homeworld is the same way. You can't.
Okay, I don't know what the criteria was. Okay. Fucking email Kotaku. Sorry. Just look up. All right, we have one more thing on the ups and downs or whatever we call it.
The highlights and lowlights.
Yeah. Ups and downs. Yeah. Again, shout out to Lab Monkey. He hit me with an idea this week that I thought was great. Kind of like a book club where everybody reads the same book and then you discuss it. We're going to be doing that with games. So this April, we're going to be doing BioShock, the original BioShock. We're going to be playing that, and we invite all our listeners to play that as well. And this is just going to be something that's not a part of the show, but it's kind of its own thing entirely. So you'll see sometime late April another episode. We don't know when it's going to pop up, but you know, one day you'll get a pleasant surprise of another episode that'll pop up, and it'll be entirely on BioShock. Obviously, there will be spoilers in this. I mean, this is an old game, but if you haven't played it, you can get it for really cheap. Check G2A. It can't be more than $5, but get yourself BioShock, play it along with us, and be part of the conversation.
Yeah, and probably the end of April, we'll just do a wrap-up show.
But this is going to be separate from our podcast, so we'll still do our podcast weekly. This will just be a bonus.
I would imagine it'd be pretty short. 30, 40 minutes maybe. But that's just a guess. But we just run until it works.
That means we can't talk about it with each other until the podcast. You guys realize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what's cool about this particular game is Chad's never played it.
I have never played it.
I played it probably once, and I really enjoyed it. I still think it's one of the best twists ever.
Spoilers, gosh.
But what I'm... First of all, I had already been thinking about playing this game again. And second of all, I'm going to play it completely different as the first time I played it. You know, usually I have my things that I do and every game, pets. Stuff like that. So I'm just going to go crazy. I'm going to play it on easy because I know that I can beat it on hard. And
you're going to beat it play it on easy. Wow. Yeah.
Well, I already beat this game, dude. So there's like, I don't have to test myself. And it's just more like exploration and seeing what's available, you know?
Yeah. And I think this is a good one to start off with because it is a bit of a landmark game. And a lot of the games that we do for this in the coming months are going to be similar, where they have a real strong story and there's just a lot to talk about.
And real cheap, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll talk about it later with you guys.
Cool.
So, let's move on.
All right.
No listener questions this week. No esports. No Bobby Gets Hard.
We gave our shout-outs, though, right? Everything's...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, cool.
So, what do we want to talk about? Let's not talk about that one.
we're in the news section, by the way.
We are in the
Welcome
news.
Welcome to the news where nobody knows. We got Tits McGee over here.
So there's this thing that came out on Darkest Dungeon that I knew nothing about until I read this article. And I'm wondering if you guys have heard about this. Apparently, a lot of people were upset that they added corpses and they added heart attacks.
In Dark Souls 3?
In Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, Darkest Dungeon. Wait, what are they?
So they added a corpse mechanic where when your guy died, he wouldn't disappear.
Okay.
Yeah. Not even your guy, but enemies as well.
Enemies as well.
Yeah.
And then that's tough, yeah.
And then they added a heart attack mechanic where if your guy hit a certain stress level, he would just kind of die.
I dig it, man. Look, there's a point where the human will break down and he's completely useless. We'll look at fucking Saving Private Ryan when the dude is supposed to deliver the ammo and he just can't do it. All he has to do is turn a corner and go, and he just can't do it. And his friends are dying. People break down. So, yeah, fucking fuck it.
Well, reason I bring this up is, one, I didn't hear it, one of these games that we love, but we did a period where we weren't playing the game. And I think this all happened while we were not playing the game.
Yeah, for sure.
But when they introduced this stuff, there was so much backlash and hatred that even though they said that they made the right decision, that so much pressure was put on them that they ended up making it an optional thing where you can check and undo it. But even though they did that, people were still on them so much that they ended up having to like restrict their formed chat and stuff like that. So it's just crazy to me, like, this game that was so popular, and it was kind of like the golden child. Like they weren't doing anything wrong. Everybody, right. It was very favorable. And then they did this thing, which they thought was the right thing to do.
Here's the problem, man. Once you get a certain amount of fans, a certain percentage of those fans are going to be assholes.
Yeah.
Once you hit that 10,000 mark, 20,000, a million, 2 million, like 1% of people are fucking apeshit, bonkers, insane, mean. Just, you know?
Yeah.
And they're the loudest. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, and I hate to see that they've been pressured. Maybe they're right, though. Maybe the pressure is good. Criticism is good. This is, what do we do?
Yeah.
We're critics.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to kind of play it and jump into this, but everybody hates internet fucking trolling and all that stuff. So I don't know what to say about this, really.
All right. Another thing, Dota 2 started doing their paid mods, but they did it in a different way. All their mods are free, but you can pay to get certain perks on mods. And this has already led to issues. So the first paid custom game mod, which is basically a PvE version of Dota 2, where you can play with your buddies against PvE environment, was this... It's called Rosh Pit.
Which might be fun, by the way.
Yeah, apparently it is pretty cool. But it's called Rosh Pit. It was like one of the first paid ones, and people were having issues because apparently they took some art from other mods and from other games, including even like Warcraft.
Yeah.
There's no money involved, nobody cares. But now that somebody's getting paid, suddenly people are coming out of the woodwork.
Right.
And eventually the creator of Rosh Pit apologized and they're going to make some changes to the mod.
But no legal wrongdoing, but kind of like maybe ask for permission to use your assets.
Yeah.
And even though it's legal, it doesn't mean that it's right.
Yeah.
Ooh, so I nailed it with that one.
So I think it's interesting Dota 2 is doing some paid stuff. There's not getting that backlash as much as they were doing for Skyrim. But it seems like you can get any mod for free, and the paid stuff is just for perks, basically.
Modders should get paid. I don't care. I would pay them up for mods. I feel bad that these people work for hundreds of hours and don't get anything.
I know, but there's so much... It's so open to cheating. You have to be very careful. Like, I put up a gun, you put it up, and then you put up the gun... If there's no money involved, it's not that big a deal. But once money's involved, it's a huge deal.
Are you saying because there's no... copyright my mod?
Yeah.
You're saying?
Well, not that, but like... I don't know. There's just so many different ways that you can cheat the system. Here's a little article. I thought it was interesting. Knockout Club, which is on Steam, they said it has 300,000 owners, but it's been pirated over a million times. Punch Club
is the name of the game.
What does that mean, though?
That means three times as many people that bought it pirated it.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, that's the whole age-old question, though. Does that mean that if pirating didn't exist, that'd be a million more sales or a million more people who wouldn't buy the game?
Yeah.
And the answer is obviously something in between.
Something in between, for sure. Yeah. But I...
is it a good game? Anybody know?
Haven't played it.
It's got mixed reviews on Steam.
I like the pixels.
There's some good elements and some bad elements. Apparently, it's a little RNG heavy.
Cool.
Get
that picture out of my face, Bobby, please.
Full screen then. The dick pic gets an update.
What is this? We can't get into this right now.
All right, what else we got, Bobby?
Kotaku has a dick pic on it. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Okay, we're gonna put a pin in that.
Did you see the nuts dancing? Okay, Kotaku dick pic. Just do that. Dancing nuts.
All right.
The two more things for news articles. I didn't know this, that there's a whole separate league for women for Counter-Strike and Dota and some other ones. Did you know this?
No. Well,
I find this odd.
It's kind of like the Special Olympics.
Why would there need to be a women's league? I mean, I understand.
Well, they're smarter than us, everybody says, so.
And they can. Their brain processes multiple things.
It's been proven they multitask better than we do, so.
They should be better at games than us, but.
I think it's. Well, I'm going to be a little. Masochistic here, I think. It's a lack of testosterone, I think. I don't think they have the
competitive
edge that we have. Yeah.
Oh, but, my God.
They're going to get laid regardless. We have to fucking build structures and statues of liberty and governments.
Anyways, I was reading this article on the women's competition. There's also some of the big groups are getting now involved under the women's side.
What are you talking about? Big groups of what?
Like the
sponsors?
The sponsors, okay. Like different team names.
Envy or what was the other one?
CLG's involved. Scroll up to the top.
Yeah they mentioned Team Secret in this article.
Yeah.
They're way more marketable. That girl's kind of cute.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'd probably rather watch this than the guys version.
Well, it's kind of...
They're still both better than us. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And guys. Yeah, I can talk all the shit that I want. Every single one of them is smarter than I am.
Yeah, whoop your ass.
You know what someone told me today? I'm not going to get too off topic, but I just want to know if you guys agree with this or not. And, you know, someone threw a statistic at me, and, you know, everyone knows 95% of all statistics are just made up on the spot.
That's true.
So, she told me that only 10% of people have an IQ in the triple digits. Do you think that's true?
No.
No, because 100 is average.
100 is average.
No, 90 to 110 is average.
So there you go. You just proved yourself.
By definition, wouldn't there be...
Yeah, by
definition. I don't know. Sometimes it seems more... Some days it seems more true than not, but
so
I don't know.
Fnatic and Na'Vi are getting into the scene.
Fnatic, that's who I was trying to name.
Yeah. That's the one I was thinking of, too.
In the game to be in the game.
But I didn't even know that they had a women's division in...
Well, they mentioned it in that documentary.
Is what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no crying in Counter-Strike. I can go all day.
You're an idiot. I love it.
Whatever happened to Gina Davis?
Here's my next beer, by the way.
Hot or not, Gina Davis?
From the fly, hot. From that...
League of
What was that, West Wing? No, she still had it going on in a league of her own.
And an Olympian.
I say never. Really?
Yeah, she's an Olympian.
Never thought she was hot.
Olympic level archer.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. You didn't know this. Now you did.
By the way, I think in the next year or so, I'm going to pick up archery and buy a bow.
So next year, we get to learn how you shot yourself with an arrow. All right. One more news article, and then we can move on. The last one, which I thought was cool, going back to achievements, we were talking achievements earlier with Devil Daggers. There's this whole thing about achievement hunters, and they have this kind of algorithm.
Uh-huh.
So they're talking to this Zeniok, who's the number one...
Most achievements in the world?
No. So they use this algorithm. So the algorithm is based off how many people have the game and how many people have the achievement. So the hardest achievements are the ones that a lot of people have the game, but nobody has the achievement.
Right.
So, for example, he mentions this... scroll down a little bit. He mentions one that is...
TF2?
TF2 has one to kill 1 million enemies, destroy 1 million enemies. Only 78 people in the world have that achievement.
Wow.
But everybody has TF2.
Right.
So that's worth a lot of points to these people.
Right, okay.
Because it's right. really hard to get.
Right.
But in the article he mentions the hardest achievement he's ever had, he's ever gotten. So it's this free-to-play game called World of Guns.
Yeah.
And so it's all... the game. It's not really a game, but it's all about these guns, and you can take them apart and do stuff like that. But it's got an achievement, and it's a quiz. And you're given a silhouettes of guns, and you need to guess the gun based on the silhouette.
Right.
But they have
one shot.
You have over 200 guns, and if you get it wrong, you can't take the quiz again for another hour. So he was talking about how he set up timers, and it took him over 100 times doing this quiz to get this one achievement.
It's funny because, like, okay, so if we took that guy with that amount of dedication and went back to the 1300s, this is the guy who came up with fucking portable candles or something, you know? Because he's obsessed about, like, getting it right. But now it's just kind of like a game or whatever.
There's an achievement in Dungeons of Dreadmore where you have to meet one of the employees in real life and consume a beer with them.
I love that game. I always want to get back into that game. But anyways, so now that you know what a roguelike is, like, when I was playing Dungeons of Dreadmore, you were like, what is it? Why do you keep playing this? Now that you know that it's like Binding
of Isaac. It wasn't that good of a game, though. Would you rather play Dungeons of Dreadmore or Rogue Legacy, just from the game standpoint?
There's more depth in Dungeons & Dreadmore. There's more depth.
Is there?
But the other one's the action RPG, so I don't know. It's hard to say. Anyway, last thing. Overwatch, being Blizzard, is taking, like we said, they're learning every single time. So every game they do, it comes out. By the way, there's a...
That was almost a sentence.
I know.
You just did.
Heroes of the Storm, Bobby, do they have some sort of Tavern Brawl type of mix it up for this week type tournament?
No.
Just every week? Okay. Well, Overwatch does. And so every week there will be...
Based off the Hearthstone.
Based off the Hearthstone, yeah.
Smite did this as well, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They'd have like a weekly mode where you could... It would just be totally random.
Yeah.
Was it daily? Was it that often?
Dare I say Smite had it first.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So anyway, Overwatch, which is... you guys can't play it, and I can steal it from Bob or Chad.
Yeah, keep earning me those chests.
I know. It's so much fun. And sometimes I... like
when the game comes out, you're going to be level 1, and
I get a new chest, and I'm like... like, I'm excited, and then I'm like... I'm like a slave.
but
I'm getting paid in fun.
What's in these chests? Is this cosmetic gear?
Yeah. Okay. So,
new... it's like great drops.
New taunts... new paints. Sprays, new costumes.
New, not voice packs, but a line.
Do they drop randomly like crates in TF2, or do you just get them
every time you level? You gain a level, you get a crate.
Okay. But what they're going to be selling, the way they're monetizing this, is you can buy crates.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. That's going to be the only thing that you buy, I think.
Hmm.
So you can't buy this super cool fucking...
So you'd be level suit. 1 with all the costumes, but...
Not okay. really, no. Because
can you trade or sell these crates? Or?
Yeah, so it's similar to Hearthstone where you're added, where your duplicates turn into your credits, and then you can use your credits to buy stuff.
Okay. So similar. So you can get the same thing in multiple crates.
But then you'll earn credits, and then you can use the credits to unlock the one thing you really want to get.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool, so... it's a good idea. Keep things fresh. And there's a new map, but I haven't played it yet. So more on that next week.
Maybe we'll play tonight.
And let's wrap this bitch up. Listener Spotlight with...
Derpstick
right after this.
Yeah.
And Bobby, anything else to say?
Nope.
Chad.
Thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Go to our Steam page. Join the group. Talk to us. Ask us questions.
We're very lonely people.
Yeah.
And on that, I wish I had some titties.
What up, guys? Another listener spotlight. This week we've got Derpstick. So, Derpstick, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
And it turns out all of our listeners have better voices than we
do. Yeah. Seriously. What did we do wrong? So, let's start off. Just tell us a little about yourself, maybe in your gaming habits and all.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm probably one of your oldest listeners, if not the oldest. I'm 40, turning 41 this year.
Okay.
So,
You're in our range.
Yeah, I've been gaming for a long time. So yeah, I can thank my dad for that. He got me hooked on PC gaming back in the early 80s with Sierra games. So that's how I started. But yeah, I mean, these days I just like to unwind. I got to decompress from school. I'm back in school going for an engineering degree. So
cool. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, awesome. I mean, it's pretty much just it's just to decompress. I got to have it.
For sure.
Okay.
Now, are you a real engineering degree, or are you just playing Siege a lot?
Yeah, it's a real engineering degree. Yeah. I wish it was easy as TF2. I could walk, you know, I could do that. But no, my wife's an engineer. So I figured if she can do it, I can do it. So
yeah, for sure.
Cool. Good so for you, man. Sounds like you're an American. What part of the country you live in?
Texas. I'm in Texas.
Texas. All right. Yes. All right. Cool. So what style of games are you going after these days?
Man, I've been playing so much Rocket League lately.
Okay.
I mean, me and my buddies, we just like to, you know, to get together on the evenings and play a couple rounds, and it's just, it makes you so angry, but at the same time, you just have the best time. I mean, we all love it. So, yeah.
So 3v3 is the way to go, or 2v2?
Well, yeah, usually there's it'll be me and two others. Sometimes it'll be me and three others, so we'll do the chaos.
The chaos,
or,
yeah.
Yeah, or we'll, you know, there's times where we've had enough to do a private match of 3v3.
Nice.
So, yeah, but I mean, you know, like Amelia was saying the other day, you know, 2v2 is, you know, kind of where it's at. I would have to agree, you know, you don't have anybody carrying you. But mostly we play 3v3, and I mean, it's a gas. I mean, you know, I'll take it any way you can.
For sure. Fantastic. For sure.
Do you play any local, or, cause I just started getting into that. Cause if I have somebody come over, like somebody that doesn't really play much,
right,
the number one game that I should, because it's pick up and play. Even if they haven't played games in 20 years, they're going to pick it up pretty quick. And
yeah. Then yeah. I just I agree. I mean, no, go ahead.
Oh, did you play local at all? Cause that's how I've been showing my friends, like getting them back into.
No, not really. I mean, I've played split screen once, and, you know, that was really the only time I played it, locally, but I have played it, with somebody who's played on their laptop right next to me. So, I mean, you could say that's local, but
LAN version,
Yeah. Yeah. So, we chat our own screen, but yeah. I definitely think that I would need to play it on my TV if I was going to do it local.
What else have you been playing?
Let's see here. Just started. I got back into XCOM 2.
Nice.
Yeah, so I've been playing that a little bit, and Grand Theft Auto 5, Fallout 4. So
big titles.
Yeah. Nothing terribly new though. I think XCOM 2 is the newest thing that I've played. I didn't play. I didn't pick up the Division. I played the beta. But I haven't picked it up or anything. So,
gotcha. So let's talk about favorites. What's your favorite game? What'd you play a lot growing up?
I was a big Nintendo kid. So growing up, I had a Nintendo in the household. I only got to play my computer when I went to my dad's. My parents separated. So
gotcha.
But yeah, so whenever it was summer, you know, I'd go visit my dad. It was nothing but Sierra and LucasArts games. So, you know. One of my favorite all-time games, you know, X-Wing, TIE Fighter. I love those games. I wish they would bring them back. So
they have the old ones on Steam that you can play.
I know. I
tried.
Just,
I couldn't do it. It's
yeah. I think if they could just, I don't know if they would do it because, you know, that market's kind of, you know, it's got Elite Dangerous, No Man's Sky. I mean, you know, they're not all the same thing, but. You know, I still think that there's a place for that kind of arcade shooter.
Totally. It always feels like nowadays they're trying to put that kind of
true.
Attached to something else, like, you know, like what's the big one that's coming out? Why am I drawing a blank on that one? Amelia, what's the one that you really wanted? It's got everything, the shooter, the space exploration.
Oh, Star Citizen.
Star Citizen. Yeah.
Don't say that. I'm really into it. Talk to Lab Monkey, dude. That guy's dropped like at least a couple hundred bucks on it already on ships.
Oh, Yeah. I backed it, but yeah, I backed it at the lowest tier to get a copy. So.
Oh, nice. What was that, by the way? $50 or something?
I think it was either 35 or 40. It wasn't reasonable. Terribly. Yeah, it wasn't terribly expensive, and that was the only reason why I did it. And plus the Wing Commander pedigree. I played a little bit of the Wing Commander series.
Nice.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, what are you looking forward to the most this year?
Oh man, I'm honestly not too sure because I will actually very rarely do I buy stuff when it comes out, mainly because my backlog is just so ridiculous that I usually wait for stuff to go on sale. But I'm really interested to see if No Man's Sky is going to live up to the hype. I'm really interested to see if that's going to be anything, you know, if there's going to be any substance to it. So I am looking forward to that. I also really want to get into Overwatch. All my friends got in the beta, and I'm the only one that did get into it, and they're all just, you know, oh, we're going to play some Overwatch. Oh, you can't play.
Like, oh,
you son of a bitch.
Remember when TF2 came out, and it was like kind of, well, for me, it was kind of weird, but then maybe a year after it came out, it really hit its stride. This has already hit its stride.
Yeah.
That's how good it is.
So yeah. All your friends are hype over it. You know, they've been playing it, and they're like,
yeah, yeah. There's a couple of my friends that actually used to work at Blizzard. And I think that's the reason why they're actually in the betas. They still know some people that are there, and they're kind of on their friends and family list. And so they get preferential treatment, but they're pretty excited for it. They're looking forward to it. So
that's awesome. You'd think if they know people at Blizzard, they could get one more for you, right?
I know, right? I'm like, come on, man, hook me up.
All right, time for the hard hitting question, man. Lightsaber or hoverboard?
Oh, if I had to pick,
yeah.
Oh man, I would go with the lightsaber, man. It's more utilitarian. Hoverboard's got one use, I think. Carry you around.
Okay, and real world application. How would you use your lightsaber?
Well, I build furniture sometimes, so I could use it to make, maybe some sweet cuts.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Sweet cuts, I like it.
Yeah, yeah. So.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
My kind of like last question is how did you hear about us and how did you start listening?
I can't remember which listener. It may have been the first spotlight that you guys did, but his reason was kind of the same thing. You know, I was I had a lot of time driving to school. You know, it takes me 20-30 minutes, and so I was looking for a PC gaming podcast, and there was not that much.
Yeah.
You know, and actually one of the ones that I used to listen to actually folded up. And, and so I was just, that was how I found it was, you know, I just did a search for PC gaming, podcast, and it was, well, obviously PC gaming magazine came up and then you guys. And so, that was maybe 4 months ago.
Nice.
So I've been listening since.
That's been my whole way to get through life. Be the best one only because you're the only one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best of one.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like the Highlander Creed. You know, there can be only one.
Well,
cool.
I think you and Emilio should put some time into Rocket League.
I feel like everybody's better than me. My fundamentals are very good. I don't miss the ball, and my positioning is really good. But I can't aerial for shit. So.
Dude, trust me. If you played with me and my friends, we actually made one of my friends change his name to The Whiff because he whiffed the damn ball so many times.
That's not a bad nickname, though. I know, like, it's a slight, but Emilio the Whiff Marquez.
I like it. Yeah. That would be my nickname, too. I suck at that game.
Oh, man.
Are you a sports fan as well as a PC gamer?
I watch NFL. I watch the Cowboys. So,
okay.
You know, I know everybody likes to hate on the Cowboys, but
they're America's team.
I know, right? I was indoctrinated at a very young age. I had a Tony Dorsett jersey.
Gotcha.
Guys, think about when.
I'm a Niners fan, so I have to dislike you, but.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know how it goes.
Guys, I'm telling you, probably, if it's not Rocket League, there will be a game, but probably Rocket League or something. Or we'll be sitting in the virtual stands in our virtual headsets watching the Grammy. Like
you're
the world.
You're still hyping the virtual stands.
Dude,
huh?
Think about that though. Looking left like a soccer match, watching left to right, and yeah. Like fucking cheering. Oh, dude.
I would do that. I would get on board for that. That would be awesome.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
I still think though, if it's in a virtual world, why not just ghost it and float up above and just fly around where you want, right? Like the best seat in the house isn't where you're sitting. It's above and into the action.
Sure, but as long as there's something for the contestants to see, like all these people are watching me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they'll choke. So your whatever, like your avatar could be in the stands, but you could float around, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And it'd be, I don't know if you guys saw that Black Mirror episode, but everybody's kind of an emoji, but they're really there. It's kind of
what you're talking about. That was a trippy episode.
Yeah, and if you're happier or if you're glad or whatever, you can change your emoji.
Yeah,
on your avatar, fucking awesome.
I need to see that episode. I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah. All right, Derpsick.
Cool. Thank you very much, Derpsick. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. For sure. Thank you guys for having the podcast. Up, bro. No problem.